in a little bit later in case you're getting a little concerned that I've forgotten something. But we've been talking a little while about the presence of God, how important it is for us to just press in and welcome his presence with us. Last week we talked about welcoming the glory, and we took a look at some of the Old Testament sacrifices and how that applies to us, because there was a scripture in Leviticus that said, if you do these things, basically, then the glory of God will appear. So it applies to us. And so let me just review a little bit from last week. We talked about the sin offering means we should confess and repent of our sins. And the burnt offering means we should give ourselves fully to God. And the grain offering, we should give our very best to God in all situations. And the fellowship offering means we should express gratitude. And then there's the wave offering, which means we should give financially to support God's kingdom. And finally, the blessing is was an Old Testament sacrifice that we are to bless others with what God has done in our lives. We should then bless others with that. And so these are ways we can enter into God's presence, things we need to do, right? Now, today I'm in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. You have your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Would you please stand? Here's what it says. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. All right, you may be seated. The title of the message today is Draw Near to God. And we want to draw near to God. How about you? Right? And here he makes a reference to the most holy place right off the bat. And so this kind of ties us into last week's message. This is a picture of the tabernacle, okay? And in the tabernacle, down at the bottom is the gate. And the first thing you come to is where all the sacrifices take place. And we talked about those last week. Then as you follow the arrow on up to the circle, that is the most holy place. And that is where the high priest actually met with God. And the Jews call it the Shekinah glory. There was a visible, tangible presence of God in that most holy place. And so here we are in the New Testament, and the writer is making the reference to this most holy place, that we can now enter that most holy place. And, of course, we don't have a physical tabernacle, but there's a spiritual tabernacle that we can enter into God's presence. He also talks here about a new and living way. In other words, the Old Testament sacrificial system was a pattern of things to come. And we talked a little bit about that last week, how the sacrifices, we don't literally do sacrifices today, but they have some meaning for us in things we should do. Today, the tabernacle is kind of a pattern for us. And I've preached a whole series on the tabernacle before. I find it very fascinating. But listen to Hebrews 9:23. It says that these things are copies of the heavenly things. And then in Hebrews 9:9-10, it says the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper, but they were only external regulations applying until the time of the new order. And so they did all of these sacrificial things and, this sequence of events that they did to meet with God and to meet God's requirements until the real deal has been revealed. And let me tell you, Jesus is the real deal. Okay? He is the new order. He is the new and living way. He opened the way by being the perfect sacrifice on the cross. And where all the other sacrifices failed to really cleanse, Jesus succeeded. He can really take away our sins. Okay? And he is now our great high priest, so we can come in to the very presence of God by the way of Jesus Christ. He opened the way for us. Jesus said something similar to this in John chapter 14, verse 6, when he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. So he is kind of the arrow, if you will, that lets us into the very presence of God. Now, in the Old Testament, only the high priest could ever enter into the most holy place, into the presence of God. But now, because of what Jesus did in his work on the cross for us, anybody who is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ can enter in to the presence of God. Isn't that cool? And so, since it is available to us, I say, let's enter in. Let's draw near to God. Absolutely. I have three main points this morning I want to talk about entering into his presence. The first one is, accept his cleansing. Here in our text, it talks about cleansing us from a guilty conscience. Jesus is able to do that. He can cleanse us. And so we should accept his cleansing. I quoted a lot from Acts chapter 3, verse 19. But it fits again. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That's what we need to do. How many enjoy a nice hot shower first thing in the morning? Or those of you who have a grimy job at the end of the workday and you get all cleaned up? Isn't that refreshing? Okay? Same kind of thing here. Repent, turn to God. Repent of your sins so that times of refreshing may come. We need to accept his cleansing. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And I could just pause right here for a moment. If we claim to be without sin, we're only fooling ourselves. Okay? The truth is, God knows you've been sinning. And a lot of times other people know it too. And so when you pretend that you haven't been sinning, you're only deceiving yourself. Okay? But here's the good news in 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's the good news. If we will just admit it, I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me. And God is more than willing, and he has already paid the price through Jesus Christ so that he can freely forgive you and cleanse you of your sins. So accept his cleansing. C.S. Lewis talks about the nature of man, and he says, fallen man is not simply an imperfect being who needs improvement. He is a rebel who must lay down his arms. And this process of surrender, this movement full speed astern, is what Christians call repentance. Then C.S. Lewis, in his classic way, says, now, repentance is no fun at all. It's not. It is something much harder than merely eating humble pie. It means unlearning all the self-conceit and self-will that we have been training ourselves into for thousands of years. It means killing part of yourself, undergoing a kind of death. It hurts to admit you're wrong, doesn't it? Generally, people don't like to be wrong, and then when they are, they don't want to admit they're wrong. Or am I the only one? But when we admit that we have been sinners and we need a Savior, then God is right there. He is willing to cleanse us from our sins and make us right again. I say, repent and receive Christ. And if you're already received Christ, you're already a follower, then get cleaned up. Accept his cleansing. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1 says this. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Purify yourself. Get cleaned up. Accept his cleansing. Arthur Wallace says, brokenness is not revival. Okay? He says, it is a vital and indispensable step toward it. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we just feel bad. When we've done something wrong, we feel bad. But that's really just the first step. Then we need to go on to ask for forgiveness and to change our ways. And God will help us all that way because he wants us to be clean. Once you repent and ask for forgiveness, then you need to believe and trust that he actually forgives. And I think some of us get hung up here. I know I do. Can anybody else relate to this? When you've done wrong, and you know you've done wrong, then you admit it to God, and you confess it, you ask for his forgiveness, but then you still feel guilty and beat yourself up for a while. I struggle with this. Anybody else? Okay? Let me tell you what Romans 8:1 says. And I have to remind myself of this frequently. It says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I said before, the Holy Spirit will bring conviction when there's sin that needs to be dealt with. He'll point it out so that you'll do something about it. But the Holy Spirit does not bring condemnation to you. If you confess and repent, you ask God to forgive you, he forgives you. And he does not hold it over your head any longer. When you are holding it, you're feeling that condemnation after you've confessed and repented and you've turned your things around, then you are doing that to yourself or the enemy is doing it to you. And I'm preaching to myself because I struggle with this. Somebody said God has a big eraser. And then somebody else said when God buries our sins in the deepest sea, he posts a sign which reads, no fishing. In other words, God does not keep bringing up our past to us. We do that to ourselves, and the enemy does it to us. When we confess our sin, we ask for his forgiveness, we get on the right track, then as far as God's concerned, that's the end of it. So we need to accept his cleansing. Then the second one is this, be authentic. Here in our Hebrews, it talks about being sincere. Psalm 51, verse 10 says, create in me a pure heart, O God. Somebody wrote and said, we are so accustomed to wearing a disguise before others that we are unable to recognize ourselves. If you've been in the church for any length of time, you probably know how to look and act. But is it really authentic? That's the question. Keith Miller says, it has never ceased to amaze me that we Christians have developed a kind of selective vision which allows us to be deeply and sincerely involved in worship and church activities and yet almost totally pagan in the day-in, day-out guts of our business lives and never realize it. I think sometimes we're guilty of that, church. Where we can put on a nice show on Sunday and really not fake it. But we love being here. We worship. We praise God. But then come Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, then we're totally a different person. And the Bible doesn't direct our lives at all. We're somebody else. said they saw Robert Redford, the actor, one time walking through a hotel lobby. And this woman saw him and followed him to an elevator and said, "Are you the real Robert Redford?" And just as the doors closed, he said, "Only when I'm alone." You see, sometimes we have a public persona and a private persona. But God wants us to be authentic. If we love him on Sunday, we should love him on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday as well. So let me ask you the question. Is your interest and passion for the things of God as strong at home when you're alone? Or is it only strong when you're at church or with others who are fired? We should be authentic. Isaiah 29:13, the Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Boy, I don't want to be that person. I think probably everyone in this room has been at one time or another, where you've kind of gone through the motions, you say the right words, you do the right actions, and yet your heart is somewhere else. God wants us to be authentic. He wants us to love him all the time. He wants us to be on fire for him all the time, not just once in a while. So be authentic. And then boldly approach his throne. It says, draw near in full assurance of faith. Ephesians 3:12 says, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." Here's good news. He's talking about Jesus. In him and through Jesus, we can approach God with freedom and with confidence. God doesn't have to be far off out there somewhere, but he can be up close and personal because of what Jesus did for us. That's good news. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 says this, We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We can approach God with confidence because of what Jesus did for us. And especially if we kind of do this in sequential order, accept his cleansing, okay, be authentic, and then boldly approach his throne because it's opened up for us. Jesus made the way. We can come into his presence. And then let me just read this verse from Romans 8:15. It might help us here a little bit. It says, "You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." We have received the spirit of sonship. When you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became a son of God. Okay? And we cry, Abba, Father. That's kind of a way, that's a very personal way of saying dad. It's almost like daddy. So you get the picture. We have that kind of relationship with God. He's our daddy. Imagine a little toddler and their dad. And they have a loving relationship. Is that child afraid to go to their dad? Not at all. In fact, catch me, Dad, here I come. Dad might not even be looking. You know? That's the image I see. And that's the way it is with God. Since we are his kids, we can have confidence in coming near to him. He wants us to draw near. So let's accept his cleansing. Let's be authentic. Let's boldly approach him. Here is the simple truth. God wants us to draw near. Sometimes we think like we have to kind of sort of earn God's acceptance or something, and he's kind of standing far off waiting to see not the way it is. He does have some guidelines we need to follow, yes, but he's really on the sidelines, like saying, come on, get it, come on. I want you to come on over. Just get it, would you? He wants us to draw near. That is God's heart. I mean, you can think about the summary of the whole Bible. Okay? God created things perfect. We messed it up. Then God went out of his way to fix it through Jesus Christ. Doesn't that say something to you? God wants us to draw near. Yes, he does. James 4:8 says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. That's his heart. He wants us to press in and draw near. So accept his cleansing. Be offended. Boldly approach his throne. And then verse 23 back in Hebrews, it basically says we should stay hopeful. You know, keep your hope. Joshua 21:45 says, not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. And Psalm 145, verse 13 says, the Lord is faithful to all his promises. And so, back in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, we should encourage each other because the day is coming. God has made some promises to us. And there are, and I'm referring primarily to the biblical promises that Jesus is coming again. And so we want to welcome his presence here. But he's also just spoken periodically to our local body here that he wants to make visitation upon Bible Church. Right? We've heard God speak those things to us before. So we still are hopeful that God will pour out his Spirit right here in Boone. There will be a great awakening, great experience of the presence and power of God right here. God is faithful to his promises. He said he's going to do it. He's going to do it. So let's encourage each other with these words. Let's draw near to God. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you that you opened up a way for us through Jesus Christ. And that we don't have to be far off and distant from each other anymore. We can come close and experience your presence and know you personally. And Lord, we don't want to be people who just go through motions, just have another church service. But Lord, we really want to walk and talk with you. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to admit when we've been wrong, confess our sins, and turn around. And Lord, help us to simply trust in your forgiveness. Lord, help us to be genuine people who are not just on one day and off another day, but always on in our relationship. And then, Lord, we want to draw near to you, into your presence. Lord, we welcome you here. As we gather together on Sundays, Lord, this is always about you. It's your time. It's your place. We are your people. And so we welcome you here as we gather together. But Lord, not only when we gather together on Sunday, but every day of the week in our personal lives, we welcome you in our lives. We want to draw near to you and have your presence with us. We surrender to you, God. Help us to follow you wherever you lead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now we're going to move into a time of communion. Those who are help serve, come on. that we ought to examine ourselves, and that kind of fits the first part of the message.